I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your 5-Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and we're back. Back-to-back days. We got the substitute, CJ McLaughlin.
What it do?
We got the Jedi Master himself, Nasty Nate Parker.
Ooh, Jedi Master. I'm in for this. Okay. I'm in.
What color would your lightsaber be?
Green, obviously.
Green? You ain't no Skywalker.
I figured you'd say yellow. What?
Hey, if we're gonna
yo, real talk about a yellow lightsaber would be dope.
I mean, no, if we're gonna do it, it'd be orange for sure. If I was gonna go anything other than green.
Ooh, orange? That would be a cool lightsaber. I'm a pimp, bro. I'm a pimp. Master Ace Windu, like purple baby.
Purple. Royalty. All right.
I'm gonna go black.
You're gonna go black.
Yeah. CJ would definitely be a Sith Lord without
it
a
just,
doubt.
It just be it like the you'd flick it on and then nothing would come up and be like, oh, it's broken. And then CJ just slice you in half.
Yeah. CJ would definitely be a Sith Lord, like without a doubt.
I don't even know what that means.
That means that the hate flows through you, my friend. You use the dark side.
Oh man.
All right. Well, we before we hop right into covering the games, we're gonna preview the games here this weekend, pick you out some bet nuggets, win you some dollars. We're gonna pass it over to the substitute, who's moving to the head of the class, and he's gonna teach us something, ask us some questions.
Hey.
Welcome to 5-Tool Trivia.
Again, you know how I always like to tie the trivia into just, you know, what we might be talking about this week and or what has happened up until now. And obviously through week two, we've seen a lot of the rookie quarterbacks and we've seen a lot of them kind of underwhelm. I don't think anyone is panicking, but, you know, we just saw my man Zach Wilson throw 4 interceptions last week. Trevor Lawrence is having his struggles in Jacksonville. Justin Fields actually gets his first start this week. So there's a lot going on as it pertains to the rookie quarterback. So without further ado, this century, there has been 3 quarterbacks who recorded at least 18 interceptions their rookie season, but went on to make at least 1 Pro Bowl during their careers. Give me the 3 quarterbacks. I'll read the question one more time. I'm sorry I didn't throw my disclaimer out there for troubled Woody Massey in the corner of the classroom trying to blurt stuff out.
I got the answers already.
But no, so we're going to go to Nate first.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to read the question one more time. This century, there have been 3 quarterbacks who recorded at least 18 interceptions their rookie season, but went on to make at least 1 Pro Bowl during their careers. Who are they? I'll tell you what spawned this question is. I was kind of doing some digging. Obviously, I'm sure we all know Peyton Manning has the NFL rookie record for most interceptions in their rookie season with 28. And since then, there have been some quarterbacks who've had some pretty high interception totals their rookie season, but they went on to make Pro Bowl. So, Nate, without further ado.
Oh, wait, it's only from 2000?
Only from 2000.
Oh, okay, because
this century, obviously, you know, the troubled student in the corner of the class does not follow the directions. This century.
What is a century, teacher?
Your mama's age.
And they have to be a number one overall pick?
No, it don't have to. Just be. Any quarterback. I'm gonna go. All right, Andrew Luck is one.
That's a good guess.
All
Should I go back and forth? So you gave me Andrew Luck.
Yeah,
I
can sure. Go to,
okay,
yeah,
what Andrew,
you want to give? And then me? Tell us, and then we'll go by elimination, right? So
famous if, Jameis.
All right.
Famous Jameis.
Jameis Winston made a Pro Bowl?
Alternate.
Has not made a Pro Bowl.
He wasn't there as an alternate, I thought.
Oh, he also hasn't thrown. Jameis Winston is not correct.
Well, his it would have to be his rookie season. He would have thrown 18 picks.
Yeah.
I thought he did his rookie year.
So is Andrew Luck? Is Andrew Luck correct?
Andrew Luck is one of those guys. He threw 18 interceptions his rookie year. He went on to make four Pro Bowls in 2012, 2013, 2014, and 2018, which was his last year.
I want to say Cam, but I don't think Cam threw 18.
All right. Cam Newton is not correct. No, that counts as a guess. Nice
Carson
try.
Wentz.
For the Woody Massey. Woody says Carson Wentz, not a bad guess. However, wrong.
Mm.
Nate, your turn. So far, you've given me Andrew Luck, and which was correct. Cam, I'm sorry. I know you didn't want that to be your answer, but you tried to hit me with the Woody shake.
I'm sorry. What
Thanks
was Woody's
apologizing.
Guess?
Apologizing. Woody said Carson Wentz.
Was that correct?
No. Can I
get a 50-50? Oh, NFC one. Or AFC?
Oh, no, you don't get 50-50s. Sorry.
I got one.
All right, I'll defer to Woody.
Josh Allen.
Incorrect.
God.
He didn't throw
it. This century, there have been three quarterbacks who recorded at least 18 interceptions their rookie season, but went on to make at least one Pro Bowl during
Robert
their career.
Griffin III.
Incorrect.
All right, that's what, three strikes, we're out. What are the answers?
This is what you get for talking shit.
I only have two strikes.
don't curse. No, that's three between us. This is bad radio. All right. We're out.
All right. So you guys gave me Andrew Luck, or rather, Nate gave me Andrew Luck. Woody, you really gave me a poor performance.
I did. This is my worst performance, I think.
All right. And you know what? You even got the first name right on one of them. Like, come on. Carson Palmer.
Oh, was he? I thought he was 1999.
His rookie year, he threw 18 interceptions. He went on to make four Pro Bowls. Let's see. I don't have it up. I want to say Carson Palmer was drafted in 2002.
Was he? Okay. It was just so long ago.
And then last but not least, Matthew Stafford. He threw 20 interceptions his rookie year. He's went on to go to one Pro Bowl, which was in 2014.
He's only been to one Pro Bowl?
I know, right? That was enamoring to me as well.
Wow.
That's what happens when you put up MVP caliber stats, but play for the Lions.
Yeah.
One thing I'm really, really interested to see is how Matthew Stafford responds in a tight playoff game, because we just haven't seen it.
Yeah, we haven't.
Yeah, I'm just interested to see how he responds. Like, he did good driving down against the Colts. A close game, but he's got plenty of come from behind victories, but I won't see in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, it's a different beast, you know?
It is.
All right, guys, let's dive right into these games. We got games. We're going to pick out the best ones that we see potential with this weekend. Obviously, the first one we see, Arizona Cardinals, Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, we expect Arizona to blow them out, right?
Yeah, that'll be easy work.
-7.5, I'm taking the over there. And you know,
take the over. Urban said last week.
tell him what he said to Vicky Fangio. Tell him.
He said that he was like, man, every week it's like you're going against Alabama, and this week rings true because
when's Purdue on the schedule?
They don't have a Purdue on the schedule this year. They are Purdue.
What? No Boilermakers.
Yeah, but I mean this game, it'll be easy work for Arizona. Arizona's defense. You remember how I talked about week one they look good? We'll kind of see if they're legit. Week two they didn't look good versus Minnesota, who has a loaded offense. Let's not get it twisted. But I mean, I don't know how good this Arizona defense is. It's kind of iffy.
With that line, I expect Chandler Jones to get another five sacks.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is going to be running for his life for sure. Jacksonville might, they may have the most success they've had this season offensively. They might be able to put up, they might be able to score more than a touchdown or more than a couple touchdowns this game, but Arizona in a route for sure.
So I got a question for y'all. Trevor Lawrence, you know, before the draft, I started to sour on the chosen one. Sunshine was looking a little gloomy to me. And now he's putting up stats similar to Josh Rosen first two games. Is anyone else joining the bus train?
No, I'm not joining that bus. Not yet. I mean, I'm not getting on that train at all. Like I don't. Yeah, it's too
early. I've seen him make some very impressive throws, but he's made some pretty bad.
I don't think. I mean, look, if you want to be on the train, I totally understand why. I'm just not ready to hop on that train. If you swing back around, holla at me like week 8, week 9. If you swinging back around,
I'll pick you up on the second lap. I got you.
I appreciate it.
Indianapolis Colts, Tennessee Titans. Now this is a battle of the division winner probably, because Texans and Jaguars aren't it. So it's gonna be one of these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think so, right?
Yeah, I mean, if Tyrod Taylor was the starter of the Texans, honestly, the way they came out week one, I could see them, like, they could have snuck it in. But him missing half the season is not going to be there.
Yeah, that's fair. Who's the favorite in this one?
Tennessee's surprisingly favored by -5.
Interesting.
Well, I think it's the way they played against Seattle last week. Derrick Henry exploding, Julio Jones creating the chemistry with Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. But don't doubt Frank Reich in the game scheme.
No, yeah. Control the ball. I'm going Titans, and I think
Carson Wentz is probably out on this game as well.
Yeah.
Number one, Jacob Eason. Number two, like Tennessee is
Jacob Eason
a much
all
like,
right in the preseason.
No, stop it.
He did.
In the preseason. Yeah.
Well, do you think Tennessee is going to play their third string secondary?
He played against first stringers.
No, stop it.
He did because Carson Wentz.
But they don't disguise anything. Everything is super vanilla.
They're probably like Tennessee probably did that. Like, hey, Carson's injury prone. We're going to see Jacob Eason. Let's give him some fake looks and see what he can do. And they're like, all right, we got this guy. So like Tennessee by a mile. Like Tennessee, five is not enough.
Here's what I'm saying.
Did you see Derrick Henry? Did you like?
I mean, did you see him week one? He got stuffed on the goal line 3 times.
Yeah, I know. And again, they trusted. Like they, you know what they did? Game was close. You know what they kept doing? Giving the ball to Derrick Henry.
Then Taylor Luan got exposed, so he had to cover up.
Taylor Luan might have like torn his ACL again in a non-contact injury warming up against the Seahawks. That might be the best thing that's happened to the Titans this year.
You know. So I think Todd Downing, I was critical of him after week one. And I think he's learning, just like how Arthur Smith learned. When you have a guy like Derrick Henry, you got to keep feeding him. Got to keep feeding him the ball.
Consistent.
No matter.
Got to keep the like, blood flowing.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. Thank you, CJ.
If you're down by 10, two possessions, three, you still have to use Derrick Henry. Yep.
Well,
and
honestly,
they're even throwing it to him. They're throwing it to him a lot more this year already. I mean, through 2 weeks, I think he already has like 10 or 11 targets. So
the percentages of Derrick Henry busting a long run are probably just as high as like a deep ball pass.
honestly, it's Todd Downing has learned just how Arthur Smith learned. Like week one, they got behind the eight ball versus Arizona. And
they abandoned their identity.
They abandoned everything. And I 100%. Think Todd Downing has learned, like, hey, we just got to keep doing what we're good at, even if we fall behind. And it's tough to do because Tennessee can't necessarily play complimentary football the way they want to because their defense is so bad.
Well, also with the Titans, like, you look at Tannehill's numbers when it comes to throwing outside of play action, they're not as good. Not even close.
It's absurd. Like, and we've talked about this multiple times, CJ. You brought up a good point. Like, Tennessee has to pass the ball. They have to ride Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. They cannot deviate from that, because anytime they have, they lose. Yeah. Legitimately, they lose. They lose badly. And you know where this gets exposed? When they get down by, you pointed out, CJ, they get down by two possessions and they're like, we got to throw the ball. No, you continue to hand off the ball to Derrick Henry. Yeah. And then you put Ryan Tannehill in a position to use what he does best, which is play action. Ryan Tannehill, just like some of the other quarterbacks in the league that we'll talk about later today, he is very, very good when he's able to pull off play action.
For sure. And look, you don't go out and get Julio. Correct. And then change your offense. You get Julio to make that same offense, that same scheme, that much scarier and that much better. But just because you got Julio now and you got two legit receivers on the outside does not mean you change what worked for you.
100%. I'm taking Tennessee -5, and I'm taking the under.
I'm taking Indianapolis to cover, but I think Tennessee wins by 3. I think it's a field goal game here. All right, Baltimore, Detroit. I'm not touching that game, honestly, with how volatile Detroit's offense has been. You just don't know what you're going to get there, especially with all the injuries.
Ravens over Lions in a blowout. I mean,
like, how are the spread's 7.5? I wouldn't bet on this game.
I would take the Ravens, and I like, I don't know how this isn't like a 13.5 point spread.
Like, I agree, man. I agree. The Lions defense is bad.
In fact, I will go on wax and say this is literally my best bet of the week. Take the Ravens. Take the over.
CJ, write this one down.
This is nuts.
Yeah.
You could give the Ravens 21 points and they'd still cover.
All right. Now, this one is very interesting to me. The next one. Washington football team, Buffalo Bills. The reason why it's interesting is Washington's +7 here. I think with Chase Young, and that pass rush against Josh Allen, you get it in his face. No, I don't know.
Josh Allen, I'm going to say something. I'm going to say another crazy thing. Seven is not enough. Josh Allen the Bills are going to win by it.
So who are we all taking here? Washington +7 or Buffalo -7? Young Taylor Heineke, 300-yard games back-to-back, clashing with GOATs and playoffs.
Taking the Buffalo Bills.
Not that this. Young, 28, but, you know,
I'm young taking Taylor the Buffalo Heineke. Bills to cover this.
Man, they're playing at Buffalo, too.
Uh-huh.
Bills Mafia. I'm going to take Buffalo with this one.
I watch
cover?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going Washington football team.
Yeah, I can't say that with my chest, though. I can't.
I mean,
because Buffalo, I mean, I'm with Nate on why he feels safe with picking this. Buffalo's defense is a lot better. But then from that same token, Buffalo's offense, in my opinion, hasn't looked as good as it did last year through the first 2 weeks of this year. So, and then Washington, obviously, the pass rush, the defense. And one could argue that Washington's defense has not been as elite or as good as we thought it would be so far through week 2. So, this is a very, very tough one for me. But again, man, I'm sorry with Nate. I'm going with the Bills to cover. But this is one to highlight for a possible upset pick. In my opinion, last time I did that, the Dolphins lost 35-0. So,
no, I agree. Now the next game, we got New Orleans Saints against the New England Patriots. Battle of the new.
That's a good one.
+3, -3.
Well, you know, Tom Brady never loses in Foxborough. Oh wait.
No, what? Mac Jones only sometimes loses in Foxborough.
Yeah, man.
I think this is a bad. I think this is the reason why I'm actually really hyped for this game. I think this is an awesome battle of the coaching minds because the teams aren't at their peak anymore. So this is going to be all game script between Belly and Sean Payton going at it with each other. Well, and also, are the Saints coaches back around? Like, that's another question. I haven't read anything about it this week. So that's something to look into before you bet on the Saints, because I'm ready to take the Saints here.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Saints here. I'm gonna take the Saints to win, not even to just cover. I think the Saints will win.
I'm gonna take the Saints. New England's run defense is not very good.
Ah, interesting.
They gave up 150. They gave up 152 yards last week.
Yeah, that's a bit alarming. And then look, the Saints, they have a pretty good defense, and they're going up against a rookie quarterback. And Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones, I know people have been raving about Mac Jones through the first 2 weeks because he's played good, you know, Alex Smith type football, not turning it over, making the safe throws, just getting the first down. But I think this is going to be a legit test for Mac Jones this week.
Yeah, no, I agree. This is the best front he's faced thus far.
Yeah. I mean, New England does have a top 10 pass defense in the as far as like yards allowed. They're only allowing through two games this season, they're only allowing 184 and a half passing yards a game. But I think that just highlights again their run defense. They're just gonna ride Kamara.
Yeah, yeah. No, I see a heavy Kamara game here. That's a good point, Nate. So who are y'all taking?
New Orleans Saints plus cover.
Game? Saints cover?
Saints money line. They're going to win, man.
Ooh, money line. I like it. All right. I agree. I think the Saints bounce back hard here. I like that money line bet. I'm going to tag on
CJ.
That. I'm riding the CJ money line wave.
You know what? CJ's can be. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I'm taking the Saints money line. They're under. Mm. They're the underdog for sure.
Well, what's the money line?
It's plus 130.
Plus 130.
Amen.
Oh yeah, there it is. Los Angeles Chargers versus Kansas City Chiefs. This is gonna be a sneaky game. This is a sneaky game. I think the Chargers are gonna surprise the Chiefs here. I think they might sneak one. Honestly.
Hey, nah. I was on that same train until the Chiefs lost
this past week. So you think they rebound hard?
Yeah, I think if they would have beat Baltimore, this would have been the trap game. But the fact that they lost to Baltimore in what, in hindsight, was a trap game, I think they bring their best versus the Los Angeles Chargers. And look, the Chargers got the horsepower to beat them. But they do. I think the Chiefs bring their A game.
But the one thing with the Chargers here that makes things very interesting is they're number one against wideouts in all the NFL defense.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's because offenses can do what they want against them, I guess.
So here's my thing. I love the Chargers' pass defense. I really like their secondary.
Derwin James has changed his secondary.
I get it. Here's the thing: Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and I guess Amari Cooper and Tony Pollard.
Amari Cooper's questionable for the game. Same.
They're not. I'm not even talking about the Cowboys. I'm saying the Chargers have not faced receivers like they're going to face.
That's this a lie. CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper are probably the second best wide receiver duo in the NFL.
Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce might be the best receiving stack in the NFL, and I'm not even,
we're approaching all time here with those two.
Yes, honestly. Exactly. Like, so yes, CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper might be number two, but the gap between number one and number two is so vast, you can't.
I don't know. I'm picking the.
He thinking about playing with it. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it.
I'm picking the Los Angeles Chargers.
Give me a plus six and a half. You think they're gonna? If you really think this is gonna be an upset,
I'm not betting money line. I say that it's they're gonna
plus,
win outright.
It's plus 245.
I know. I'm not saying they're gonna win outright. I'll take the spread though.
All right, Woody, you think this is gonna be 3-point game, field goal, like 1-point game, last second Chargers?
It's something like that. Something weird's gonna happen in this game.
Because I just want to let you know, the Chargers and their kickers in the last minute field goals.
You don't need to tell a Chargers fan about their kickers. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. I forgot they're yeah. like your fifth team. I keep forgetting you've got so many.
Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs. I don't think the Chargers cover. I think the Chiefs win by a couple of possessions.
I agree with CJ, but I'm staying away from any win or loser. I'm just taking the over. I think this game is going to get out of hand.
Yeah. I don't know. Go ahead.
And the reason I think that, Austin Eckler, that Chiefs run defense, not so great.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
Think this is like I think if you're a DFS player, Austin Eckler is probably pretty affordable this week. Go get him.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears, Cleveland Browns. Now, this is not going to be the closest game, most likely. But the reason why this game is incredibly interesting and everyone's going to want to tune in is because possibly the best quarterback in this draft class is now the starter in Chicago. He was named the starter for this game, Justin Fields, taking over for the Red Rifle. And how do you guys feel about that?
I just want to say I think the Red Rifle has now jammed.
It's a red BB gun.
It's a red BB gun. Wow. And look, I'm gonna say this, Woody. You kind of preface this game by saying it might not be a close one. It might not. Or Justin Fields could become Chicago's savior, light it up. And next week, that's all we're talking about is Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears and how that offense looks amazing and how what happens when Andy Dalton passed this week. So I'm excited that Justin Fields is starting. I think it might galvanize the whole team because, you know, for weeks we've heard so much stuff in the media and Matt Nagy, for whatever reason, was really opposed to throwing Justin Fields in there, even though we can all agree Justin Fields is the more talented player and probably should be back there at quarterback. But I think we see that defense play better, that O-line play better. David Montgomery, the receiver, I think everyone plays better this week, and I think it's going to be a close game. And that 7.5-point spread, I don't like it. I think the Bears cover.
You think the Bears cover? There's a
bowl. I mean, hell, if I was feeling real ballsy, I'd say, you know, take the Bears. But I don't have those type of onions, so.
respect. You got the little medallions right now.
You know what I'm saying?
The little medallions. I'm a believer in the Browns. Kevin's fancy in that offense. I wish that Justin Fields' first start was not against Myles Garrett in that pass rush. Mm-hmm. I think the Browns win by two scores. Like, I think I honestly think that Justin Fields will probably play very well, but
Justin Fields did not look great last week. Against
yeah, but he didn't look terrible either.
He didn't. He didn't.
And mind you, this is a game. This is a game that where the game plan wasn't constructed around him, right? Like, he was literally a backup. Like, coming into a game as a backup and having a whole week of preparation and game plan and knowing you're going to be a starter is different. So, you know,
he's getting thrown to Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney almost, even though Clowney's like just not who he was.
I mean, Jadeveon Clowney's still one of the most disruptive players that you can have on your defense.
Exactly.
Like, he might not be the guy getting the sacks or tackles for a loss, but he's the guy.
But you're keeping an eye on the mammoth.
Exactly.
But look, this is the other part of the equation. How do the Cleveland Browns game plan for something they've never really seen before? And what I mean by never really seen, I mean, sure, they've seen dual threat quarterbacks, but they
Justin
haven't.
Is very fast. We saw it last week.
There's no tape of Justin Fields and this offense together.
Yeah.
You know, so from a tactical standpoint, the Browns do kind of have to find a solution for that. Like, there's no, I don't even know what teams do. Do you go back, you look at his college tape? I mean, I know you look at the tape from preseason, but even still, that's hit or miss because teams are vanilla. So, you know, I think the Bears do have some advantages here, but I don't think they'll do enough to get the victory.
I agree.
No, I agree with that. Cincinnati Bengals, and Pittsburgh Steelers. Since he's plus three in this one, do we see them bouncing back? I mean, we saw what the Bears defense did to them last week. I mean, the Steelers are like a step up from that. So I'm even though Ben Roethlisberger has looked like a shell of himself, I'm hitting the Steelers hard on this one. Like two defensive touchdowns.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nope. I'm going the opposite way. I don't think the Steelers are as good as we think.
Their defense.
Yes. That means you're given. I mean, I like Derek Carr and the Raiders, but I also don't think their offense is as good as I think that's
they've shown through week two.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is I like the Steelers. But this is my upset of the week. I'm picking the Bengals to win. I'm picking the Bengals to win outright.
Picking the Bengals to take this? That's a bold pick. Write that one down.
I mean, it's not that big a bold of a pick. The Steelers are only getting 3 points.
I think it's a bold pick the way they performed against Chicago's defense last week. Like, I mean, that was the first good pass rush they faced. Now they're facing TJ Watt.
What's
the spread? Three?
It's three.
Vegas knows something. And it's in Pittsburgh, and it's only three.
I think the Bengals cover. I don't think they win.
You think it'll be like a weird one-point game?
Yeah, something like 1-2 points. I think it'll be a close game. I'm almost leaning with what Nate is saying. I could definitely see Cincinnati beating Pittsburgh. When you kind of put everything side by side, Cincinnati's defense has been fairly impressive this year. It's not the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. But it's solid. And then when you look at the other side of the ball, when it comes down to, okay, if it's a close game and we need a play made or a throw to be made. Now, look, we've seen Big Ben do it for, 18 years now. But if you had to tell me to pick a quarterback from this matchup between Big Ben and Burrow, I'm going Joe Burrow. So that's why I have this game being close, and I could even see Cincinnati pulling off the upset. It's going to be a defensive battle, but in a defensive battle, your quarterbacks, at some point, they're going to have to make a throw or a couple of throws. I don't know if Big Ben can do that, but I do know that Joe Burrow can do that. So I think it'll be a close game, but just because of that Steelers defense, I'm going Steelers.
You know what? Here's how I know that Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are the real deal. Joe Burrow, it was double covered Ja'Marr Chase last week.
He just whipped
Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow threw it up to a spot, and Ja'Marr Chase, all he had to do was do a quick look back, slowed down, made the adjustment, slid right of both of the defenders.
Straight off chemistry, yeah.
Oh, exactly. He knew exactly what Joe was going to do before that ball hit. He just go, oh, yep. Of course, we did that before.
Both defenders crash dummied each other.
Yep.
He split exactly. The two defenders. It's beautiful.
And
yeah,
that is why I'm picking the Bengals.
All right, I'm going Steelers hard though on this one. I don't think their offensive line is good enough to withstand that pass rush. Atlanta Falcons, New York Giants. I'm going to state right off the bat, I am too angry at the New York Giants organization right now to be reasonable about this. Give me the Falcons. Oh, Danny Jones needs to go.
That's awful.
You're like, all right, so objective opinions have entered the chat. Honestly, the way the Giants played on Thursday Night Football, I'm going with the Giants. Like, the Falcons, even when they looked like they were in the Tampa Bay game, it felt like Tampa Bay was just toying with their dinner.
The entire game. Give me the Falcons' money line.
I don't think it's a lot to be said here. I'm going Giants. I don't think the Falcons cover. It's in New York. We saw Atlanta week one at home lose by more than 3 touchdowns versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I think the Giants are better and more talented than the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm going to say the Giants convincingly over the Falcons.
Agreed. I hope you're both right.
I don't think you want us to be right.
I think you want to be able to draft a new quarterback as well.
Yeah, I think you want to.
No, use but a honestly, I don't really like the quarterbacks next year, so no. That North Carolina dude has some potential, but I don't want the next Mitch Trubisky.
What about Slovis? You know, USC.
What about Young from Alabama?
Oh, he's not draft eligible for at least another 3 years.
Damn. Let's wait on that kid from Clemson.
DJ, oh no, because that NIL stuff is getting to his head. I mean, he'd be coming to the stadium all fly and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, but he has not. He looked bad versus Georgia Tech last week, and obviously we saw how he looked versus Georgia. So,
all right, Miami Dolphins at the new look Las Vegas Raiders. We got nightclubs and end zones. We're 2-0 against the Ravens in Pittsburgh. What's going on?
Raiders. Just Miami's defense is not that great. Raiders in a landslide.
I feel like this is where the Raiders specialty mess up, because we're not cursing here, comes into play. They've had two great wins. I feel like this is where they stagger. Like, Miami finally starts to get it going. Jacoby Brissett is not a bad quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback.
I don't think he's a starter.
I don't think he's a starter, but he's a good backup. I don't think he's like a franchise quarterback. Like I said before, I'm staying consistent, but he's not like Tua wasn't doing well. Like, he might be the better option.
I agree with that 100%.
It's a possibility. Jacoby Brissett will sling it downfield a little bit. Yeah. A bit of a gunslinger. I understand what you guys are saying. I got the Raiders here. I think they're a solid team. I think they're learning how to win. I think they're figuring out how to win. And I feel as though they might be not as impressive this week as they were in weeks 1 and 2. But I feel like they'll do enough to get the job done. So even though they'll have a bit of a lull, they're back in Vegas at home versus the Dolphins. I'm going Vegas. And I think the Dolphins cover them.
Really? 4.5?
Yeah, exactly. I think the Raiders...
They're only getting 4.5.
Yeah, I know. I think the Dolphins cover. I think this is a field goal game.
Again, like I said, I think the Raiders have a bit of a hiccup, but I feel like that's part of learning to win, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And a team that's not used to winning...
It's winning those surprise games.
And again, I think they'll win this one, but I think at some point it's going to be like, oh, snap, we need to turn it on and play. And I think they'll end up winning by.
Yeah, I'm taking the Dolphins to cover.
I have a question for both of you guys, and then we move on. Who on the Dolphins is going to stop Darren Waller?
The Dolphins have they got two corners that are both 6 feet tall, and it's not
Byron Jones out of a strong corner.
I love Xavier Howard. I love Byron Jones. I'm not saying that, but. I'm going to take Darren Waller in those matchups every day of the week.
Oh, bro, I'm probably taking Darren Waller in damn near all of his matchups. Mm-hmm. But the thing for the Dolphins that they have working for them in this matchup is when you have two top-tier corners, it makes a lot of sense to be able to take one
for sure.
And just like, hey, your responsibility is the stud tight end right now. In week 1, we saw the Ravens put Humphrey on Waller at times. It's a lot tougher for the Ravens to do that since Marcus Peters isn't there. But when you have two stud corners, I do think the game plan, at least my game plan, I would take one of those stud corners and put them on Waller. Whether it works or not remains to be seen. Probably not. Waller, he's a tight end body. He runs like a receiver. So it's a tough matchup, however you spin it.
That's right. The second question. Who's going to stop Max Crosby from just eating Jacoby Brissett alive?
That's true. But can we see Max Crosby do it 3 games in a row? His problem has been consistency thus far. So,
hey, I mean, Max Crosby, here's a hot take for you. 2021 Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, yeah. CJ, you made that pick, I want to say last week or week before. Hey, man, put that.
Trailer Park JJ.
Like, Max Crosby is legit, and that's what I'm saying. Like, he's game breaking disruptive. So
yeah, he's good. Yeah. Just you're not giving JJ enough credit there. JJ's like arguably the best defense man of all time.
He had a 3-year run that probably isn't second to,
I mean,
to any.
I feel like you're it's a little insulting to Lawrence Taylor, but
Lawrence Taylor was a linebacker.
I mean, who played defensive end?
No, he played linebacker. They didn't even have the 3-4. If let's give you the NFL lesson.
All right, they didn't even have the
3-4 defense yet. And Lawrence Taylor often rushed the quarterback from the linebacker position. You know why? Because he couldn't learn the plays and he couldn't remember them. So literally, he was so good that he literally just couldn't remember the plays and he'd just say, screw it, and rush the quarterback and lead the NFL in sacks. Like, and the coaches were like, cool, just do it.
That's crazy. Right. You know why? Because most coaches, when you're starting off at an early age, you put all your dummies on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are. You put a dummy on defense, and he's still a dummy. And you're like, "Well, damn,
Exactly. Now, the argument that it would have been good there was Bruce Smith. He's still up there, but Reggie White is the most like in comparison with dominance physically, because he was a 3-4 defensive end, and he got sacks just like JJ. So Reggie White,
I get it.
R.I.P.
The defensive end position is. Anyways, that's the topic for another time. Anyways.
Mm-hmm. All right. New York Jets, Denver Broncos. Broncos are favored at -10.5 here. After the Zach Wilson meltdown, obviously the Broncos defense is legit here. I'd like to imagine a bounce back from the kid here, because Vic Fangio isn't as good of a defensive coordinator when it comes to forcing youngins into their least favorite uncomfortable situations as Bill Belichick. But this is still a hell of a defense and a good defensive coordinator.
Denver got a hell of a draw when they created the schedule, because they went against Trevor Lawrence this past week, and now you go against another rookie quarterback this week and Zach Wilson, who's coming off a 4-interception game versus the Patriots. This is an easy one here. Denver Broncos. Man, that spread is large, though.
Yeah, right? That's what I was looking at. I was like, I'm going Jets on the spread here. I just, in an offense ran by Teddy Bridgewater, I don't see them running up the score like that.
Yeah, that's how I felt too, man. But Teddy B's, he's been an early MVP candidate so far this year. He's
MVP candidate.
He's been through 2 weeks. Well, peepers numbers. He hasn't turned the ball over. He's ran the offense. He's completing probably over 70% of his passes. I mean, he's balling. And I was actually worried about this past Sunday. I mean, granted, they were just going against Jacksonville, but I was watching Teddy B to see if he, you know, took a step back or, you know, came back down from heaven. But maybe this is Teddy B's new baseline in this offense with these weapons. I don't know. But looks like a match made in heaven so far.
77% completion rate.
There you go.
Wow. 4 TDs.
No interceptions.
306 yards a game. 120 rating. I take it back. You're right.
And you know what? He's been a playmaker back there a little bit, too. He's been moving around in the pocket. I saw him stiff arm a guy to avoid a sack, and then he threw a touchdown pass. I was like, okay, Teddy B. I don't remember this Teddy B, but it's...
All right, so we're not going to spend too much time on this game. I'm taking Jets to cover. You guys?
I think I'm taking the Broncos. I don't think the Jets cover.
You're taking a 10.5 spread. You know how much of a winner you get? You're at -590 on the money line.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you took the Jets money line, +440. He's such a huge win. But I'm not. I'm just taking him to cover.
I'd have to find $100 to put on that one.
Right, exactly. Nate, you taking the Jets or the Broncos? Broncos -10.5.
I mean, I tend to stay away from games that are 10.5 point spreads, but I'm with CJ on this one.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet this game, but I'd take the Jets to cover just because the spread is so large.
I think the Broncos have a better defense than the Patriots, and they might have the best pass defense in the league. And on another side, the Jets can't run the ball either, so I don't know how they're going to put points on the board.
And look, Zach Wilson and his interceptions, they're not all his fault. I mean, it's a conglomeration of things. The offensive line doesn't look good. You know, you got your first round pick from year before last, Mekhi Becton. He's hurt. But the Jets receivers can't get any separation on the outside.
I mean, here's the next thing. Bradley Chubb and Von Miller are going to be in Zach Wilson's grill all game. Yep. They could have 10 sacks combined. Like, that's scary. Like, if I'm the Jets, I go, you know what, Zach, we're gonna sit you because, like, technically, theoretically, you're our most valuable asset. We're just going to throw in the backup.
We're just going to forfeit. Play.
Exactly.
We're going to stay in New York this week. Whole team got COVID.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Los Angeles Rams. I don't know why this game is in the night game, but got him be glued to this game.
Because this is the bail of the ball.
As oh, like, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, the bail of the ball. Tampa, only favored by 1.5. And if you remember, obviously Vegas is looking about that last playoff matchup. And I firmly believe if Matthew Stafford was their quarterback, Los Angeles Rams would have beaten the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the question is, are they going to do it today? This is a different team. After you win that Super Bowl, the swag's a little different. You ran it back. All you did is add a premier pass rusher. Henderson's a little banged up in the backfield. Be running Sony Michel, but it's already the best run defense. But I don't care. Give me the Rams.
Wow.
Upset.
First. You taking the Rams money line, or you want that
money line?
Five, Woody?
Money line?
Money line.
Yeah.
I'm going Tampa.
My head says Tampa, but my heart says the Rams.
You want to know why Tampa is going to win this game? Remember the offseason pickup by the Cleveland Browns? They signed a guy named Joe Johnson.
Yeah. John Johnson, yeah.
Sorry, oh gosh darn it.
Joe
every
Johnson's
time,
every an time. Incredible consistent scorer.
In the NBA, yeah. Well, no one. Joe Johnson is the only guy no one ever said anything bad about. The NBA.
Except when it came playoff time.
So John Johnson. John Johnson.
The third
is the missing piece in that Rams defense. Bro, yeah. Rob Gronkowski is going to eat that defense alive. Antonio Brown and Chris Godwin are going to have a field on the outside.
Like Aaron Donald is the exact type of player that messes Brady's rhythm up.
I mean, I'm okay with that because you want to know what? I don't think you can mess Brady's rhythm up at this point in the season. Like, they're rolling.
He did it last
they're
year
rolling.
In the
I mean, they're rolling, and I don't think you're going to be like Matthew Stafford has to now go against Ndamukong Suh, his former teammate, and that pass rush.
Yeah. Great points. I've been back and forth on this. I was actually talking to our buddy Tyrone couple days ago, and we were talking about this game because he was doing his pick'ems, and at one point I was on Tampa Bay, at one point I was gonna take the Rams. Here on Wax, I think I'm gonna go Tampa Bay. I mean, to your point, Nate, that offense, it's a well-oiled machine already, and here we are just in week three. But then on that same token, obviously, we know what the Rams can do on offense now with Matt Stafford. I'm interested to see, and I always say this, especially when it comes to these schemes, if LA cannot run the ball the way they need to run the ball, they don't necessarily have to be super successful at running the ball, but they have to be successful enough in order for a lot of that play action, a lot of that misdirection in the pass game for it to work. And Tampa Bay, stud front seven. I don't think the Rams will be able to run on them. And
they did it in the playoffs.
They
Cam
did
Akers
it in
had
the
a huge game
last year. This is the misconception. The Rams have not been that impressive this year, man. Offensively, yes, they look great. Even though they have not been able to run the ball early the way that they did last year and in the past year in Sean McVay's offense. But the question for me, and I said this yesterday during our show, I said it last week, I want to see that Rams front seven. I want to see how good that Rams front seven really is, because we saw Chicago Bears, who coming into the season, we said that offensive line was porous, and we saw David Montgomery go for 100 yards versus an Aaron Donald-led front seven Rams team. So I'm interested to see
Tampa may run the ball here for sure.
I'm going with Tampa, and I think Tampa will win by touchdown.
You want to know how many games Vita Vea played last year?
Like two, right? At the very end of the year.
Guess which game he didn't play.
The Rams. Was it the Rams?
Mm. He didn't play against the Rams.
That's a good stat.
He played the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl.
That's a good stat, Nate. Oh, I'm still gonna stick with the Rams.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, they're your eighth team. I respect it. Got to stick.
I'm gonna tell you this, Woody.
I'm not a Rams fan. I just
go back and watch the tape. I know you watch the game, but go back and watch the tape and pay attention to Vita Vea in the middle versus the Dallas Cowboys.
He was like, destroying. I watched it. I saw it.
Man.
Did you see? It was fourth and short. Did you see? Byron Leftwich put in Vita Vea as the fullback.
Fullback, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was like, is that Vita Vea?
He's the new Lodi Nagata.
Hey man,
He's gonna catch a touchdown pass at some point this year. Watch.
Probably. All right. Seattle Seahawks, Minnesota Vikings. Only two games left after this one. Seattle is only -1.5 here. Obviously, it's because of the lead that they gave up to Tennessee last week late in the game. And they should have lost on a safety in overtime. But Russell Wilson, for some reason, they didn't call it.
Right. I disagree. I don't think it's because of the lead they gave up. I think it's because, and I know this is going to be controversial, but.
You like that?
Kirk Cousins is playing MVP caliber football.
Oh, Lord.
Like. Kirk Cousins is playing very. I'm not saying he does. He's not leading a losing team, but he's doing everything he can to put his team in a position to win. And as long as Dalvin Cook can stay healthy, I think they right the ship here. I thought they were going to right the ship against Arizona last week. I was wrong.
I think they have a legitimate shot to right the ship this week. Now, granted, Kirk,
you like that,
is playing some good football. I can't remember the last time there was an MVP winner from a team that didn't win any games. But right now, Minnesota, they're on pace to go 0-16 this year. And, you know, look, this...
0-17?
0-17.
All right.
So, I mean, this is a toss-up. You're playing at Minnesota. Seahawks lost to...
They play the Lions twice, just so, like...
They're going to go to the Titans, right?
Yeah, correct. Last week.
Yes.
So, Derrick Henry ran... Look, I'm sorry. This is where my mind goes. Derrick Henry ran for over 200 yards. What was Jamal Adams?
Right?
Who? Like, yeah, that's the first thing that popped in my mind. And I know...
Yeah, he actually had a couple good pass defense in that game. I watched that game, a lot of it.
Football is the ultimate team sport, but I swear, man, like, that's the first thing that jumped in my... Where the hell was Jamal Adams at?
Mm-hmm.
He was hanging out with the first-round picks they gave to the Jets.
Yeah. I think I don't know.
If Dalvin Cook is healthy enough to be as effective as Dalvin Cook normally is, then I would lean towards Minnesota. But with a sprained ankle, I'm going Seattle here, and I'd take the money line.
I'm gonna go Seattle here too.
No surprise here, but I think here's where my argument goes. Dalvin Cook, like a little bit of a flat tire. Alexander Mattison's gonna come in. They're gonna probably split carries. Alexander Mattison's gonna have every third down play, if not more. Like, I could see them running two back sets where they're throwing that Kirk has a check on either side of the field, like, and. We're discounting how bad that Seattle pass defense is. And we're discounting how bad that Seattle run defense is.
Seattle's pass defense hasn't been bad this year.
Alexander Mattison, yeah, but they also haven't, like...
Danielle Hunter is back for Minnesota.
Yeah, dude, Danielle Hunter. Like, you disappear for a year due to injury, and people forgot how good you are. That's legitimately what happened to me last week. I forgot Danielle Hunter was really.
I ain't forgot good what he looks football. Like though, because you talking about Black Tarzan, the arms and the biceps on that.
Seriously,
man.
Yeah,
it's crazy. He might be the best pass rusher in the NFL.
Yeah, we can't say that because, like you said, it was a year off. But he comes back and
he's healthy. That
Minnesota defense missed him a lot last year.
Kirk's numbers this year.
You like that?
58 of 81, 71% completion rate, 595 yards, 5 TDs, no picks. He has taken 4 sacks, though.
Yeah, I mean, great numbers. And, you know.
0-2.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no excuses. Like, they're here's the thing. At the end of the day, what matters, like, you could put up 6,500 yards, 70 touchdowns, have less than 10 picks, and if your team is 9-8, nobody cares.
Because situational football wins MVPs when it comes down to the stats. And here's the thing, like, K.J. Osborne, everyone's giving K.J. Osborne a lot of hype, right? And for good reason. He's put up good numbers, 12 receptions, 167 yards. Mm-hmm. If you watched the game last week, that 64-yard touchdown where he got most of his yards
second play of the game.
That was a blown coverage. Like, he just snuck behind. Like, no one guarded him. He was wide open. So, like, when you get plays like that, that's going to stuff your stats. But Kirk comes up a little short sometimes. He doesn't look for the first down markers when he throws short on third downs and mid coverage. Like, it's just,
I'm gonna go ahead and go on a limb here and say that the Vikings situational football has actually been pretty good. Not only did Kirk and the Vikings drive their way back down into a chip shot field goal last week that was then missed, but then they also kind of there was running back that fumbled the ball at the end of in overtime and they just never saw the ball back. So I'm not making excuses. They're 0-2, man.
So you're taking Minnesota for their first win of the season. It's not. I don't hate the pick, honestly, this week. Seattle, this is I'm still trying to figure out what kind of team Seattle is. You know what I mean?
Tough.
Yeah, because when they jumped out to that lead against Tennessee, it looked like they were who we thought we were, but then they let them crawl back in.
No, look, and that's how we knew they were who we thought they were. Because I feel like this has kind of been a thing. It's been a recurring theme for Seattle. The last 2-3 years, it's like, who are you? Like, we see this great quarterback. We see these great plays. We see this offense moves the ball up and down the field. We see Chris Carson, you know, come alive at times and, like, you know, look like Derrick Henry Jr. sometimes. But then, like you said, week two, you see a team like Tennessee, which is you know, on paper, it's a good team, and they come back. So I don't know what to think of this Seattle team either. But I'm going to go Seattle here. I feel like this is a toss-up, though. 100%, this is a toss-up game. I think the Vikings are a talented group. You know,
in a toss-up game, where do you go with? You go with the better quarterback.
Go with the better quarterback, for sure. I could see this being a barn burner. And like you said, what do you go with Russ?
I hope so, for fantasy purposes. I got Rusty. Rusty, do me good. All right. Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers. So the 49ers are 2-0. This is
an Aaron impressive Rodgers. 2-0.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, favorite team. Thought about going out west, maybe playing for the 49ers. Kyle Shanahan said, now I'm going to trade for Trey Lance. So you got the chip on the shoulder, Aaron Rodgers, which is always dangerous. I'm not sold on the 49ers secondary. The pass rush, I think they're going to struggle with, obviously. Nick Bosa is, and they don't have Bakhtiari. I'm taking the pass. Bakhtiari, sure, yeah. And I'm taking the Packers here to cover and win.
Packers to cover and win. This is a game I don't know what to expect because I feel like the jury is still out on both teams, the Green Bay Packers. I mean, defense doesn't look great. Offense looked a lot better in week two versus Detroit, but it was against Detroit. And then
put it this way. Detroit Lions put up 17 on them in the first half.
They did.
I'm taking the 49ers to win this game outright and cover the spread.
But look, on that same point, the Detroit Lions, you know, put up 21 unanswered versus the Niners week one, you know? So, yeah, I think the final score was 41-33. They made it more respectable. It was definitely a blowout, but like the Niners are founded on that defense. Everything is predicated on that defense. We talk so much about the offense, and the offense has looks good and it has weapons, but it's all because of that defense. Because if you take out last year, and if you remember how dominant that defense was in 2019, it's why we all became believers of the Niners as legit contenders. And now, I'm not sure if that defense is quite as good. I know they held Philly to just 9 points this past week, but I think I've been on record saying I think Philly is a bad team. So one of these teams here, in my mind, this is a hot take, one of these teams playing Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers, one of these teams are not a playoff team. I don't know which one it is yet, but I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers since they're playing at home, and I haven't given up on that defense yet. I still think that a defense can be
really good. NFC is slim with those playoff spots. I agree, especially in that division.
Here's the thing, and this is what I'm going to go back to. The Niners run defense – or, sorry, the Green Bay Packers run defense is terrible. I'm just throwing it out there, and I'm going to tell you right now that the 49ers could have – any of their backs that are currently available could run for 100 yards. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is on that defense.
I feel that.
Raheem Mostert put up, I think it was 212 yards against that, basically that exact same defense 2 years ago in the playoffs. Like,
yeah.
Packers cannot stop the run. And and CJ goes back to this every time. Everyone wants to complain about the Packers needing to give Aaron Rodgers a WR2 reality check. Everyone, they need to draft some linebackers that can help stuff that run.
They should have pulled the Carolina Panthers and go nothing but defense one draft.
It just like they could have, like, instead of drafting that backup quarterback Jordan Love, maybe draft a linebacker.
Yeah,
or a second wide receiver.
No, a linebacker.
They're still missing that second wide receiver.
Bro, hey, Woody, I'm going to tell you right now. I get the desire to give Aaron Rodgers more weapons. In fact, I understand it.
It'd be a different offense.
I mean, it doesn't matter how many points you put up at some point if you also can't stop the other guys from putting up the exact same number.
I'm just saying, take somebody, just give him a second wide receiver. Like, imagine if, like, Jalen Waddle had Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, man, but look, it's... This is where gratitude is important. Aaron Rodgers should feel grateful, okay? Because there's about 15, 16 quarterbacks out there who are in a far worse position as far as having talent and weapons on his offense. He helped create
that position, though.
Huh?
I mean, like,
he has helped create that position. Devontae Adams.
I mean, but he didn't help create Aaron Jones or Devontae Adams.
He did help create Devontae Adams. No, Devontae Adams was a second round pick.
Bro, Devontae Adams has always, like,
Devontae Adams will be Devontae Adams.
He's a second round pick.
He literally didn't get like 1,000 yards until like his fourth year. He grew with Rodgers.
Bro, Devontae Adams would be Devontae Adams with Josh Allen, with Dak
Prescott,
Jimmy G, with Derek Carr, with Russell Wilson.
At this point now, the player he's become, I think he'd still be an elite receiver. But early on, he was a project.
Well, I mean, he also, like, to be fair, when you say project, he had to compete with Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson in their prime.
Yeah.
So,
like, so if anything, they helped him more.
Yeah, I don't understand your argument because, number one, sometimes
it takes. Rodgers is boy, Nate. You know how it go. Rodgers is boy. That's why he over here giving him credit, because Rodgers made such a fool of himself through 2 weeks. You got to give him something.
Well, let's see how much of a fool he makes on Sunday when he.
Hey, Aaron will have you on the payroll.
Philadelphia Eagles, Dallas Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Money line. Plus 3.5. Philadelphia Eagles, only offense in the NFL to not have a turnover.
Yeah. But you know what? Jalen Hurts hasn't faced Diggs yet. Diggs has a nose for that ball that it cannot be explained. Like that.
We're going to see some turnovers this game.
Like, his picks are like, he watches the play develop like 5 seconds ahead of time. He's like, oh, I need to be here, and the ball's just going to be in my hands.
I don't think Hurts is. I know he's put up some good numbers through 2 weeks, but like you said, Nate, I think at some point there's going to be a regression, and Cowboys are going to take the ball. They're going to turn the ball over some this game. They lead the NFL in takeaways, so something has to give. You got one team who leads the NFL in not turning the ball over, and then another one that leads the NFL in turning the ball over. So something has to give. Monday night game at Dallas, prime time. I mean, this is going to be a doozy.
And I'm not going to say that Jalen Hurts isn't used to playing under the lights, right? He played for Alabama. He played for Oklahoma. So, like, I think he's comfortable in that situation. But here's the thing. You want to know why the Philadelphia Eagles are not 2-0 right now? They have one of the worst red zone offenses in the NFL.
I think
Jalen Hurts threw, what is it, 80 yards downfield, got them inside the 15.
It was actually longer than that. It was, yeah. I think it was like a 90. It was a 90-plus yard completion, and they got down inside the 10, maybe even closer than that, and then they didn't get it. They didn't get any.
I think we're going to see less Miles Sanders and more Kenneth Gainwell as the season goes on, because he's been a short yardage back. I think we're going to see him around the red zone. So
yeah.
If in my opinion, Philly's smart, they're going to start using Miles Sanders like Tony Pollard. Miles Sanders is not.
And so he was at Penn State. He was a very successful change of pace back. Miles Sanders, the more time goes on, he reminds me of Felix Jones.
I remiss myself from this conversation because I cannot stand Felix Jones.
Yeah. No, I figured. That's why I really can't stand Miles Sanders. So.
But no, Philly's a bad team. I still believe they're a bad team. I think the Atlanta Falcons, which is the one team they beat, is an even worse team than Philly. So I pick Philly to finish last in the NFC East.
Gotta stay consistent. Giants
are better than Philly. And so with all that being said, I think Dallas should win this game. They should cover.
I think Dallas covers here.
Yeah, you know, I think Dallas wins by at least a touchdown, to be honest with you. And look, and if I'm wrong, then I have to work on my consistency, and I have to come back next week and say, you know what, maybe Dallas is just an average team, or maybe Philly is better than I thought they were. But I don't think Philly's a good team.
Now that everyone's taking a lot of overs today, I do want to point out, I heard a stat last week that the unders are 21-7 this year.
Yeah. So, well, I think that'll change week 3.
Yeah, it should even out a little bit this week.
I think you might go 0-16 this week, Woody.
We'll see.
0-16.
Hopefully. We got to make a graph, start keeping track of these.
I mean, yeah, we should do that. I can work on something like that.
So, yeah, guys, we did the game previews. Check them out this weekend. Lay some money on the ponies. And as always, check out that Bucks Rams game, because that is football gold right there. And
that might
always
be the game of the year.
It might be. As always, for me, C, Nate, we out. My mama says, you know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step. So many nights, man, I was stressing, left and out.